Take our Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis, please. Genesis chapter 40. Genesis chapter 40 this evening. I'd like to encourage your heart this evening by reassuring you that God is still working even when we can't see it. And that's the title of my sermon tonight. God is still working in our lives even when we can't see it. Note here in Genesis chapter 40, the last verse reads, "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him." And the context of that, if I go back to verse 21, it reads, "And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him." This chapter concludes with Joseph still in prison. God has used Joseph to minister to people within the prison, such as the butler and the baker. And these verses here teach us that the baker was hanged according to the dream that he had, and the butler was restored to his original position. But unfortunately, the chapter ends with a sad note that the chief butler failed to remember what Joseph had done for him. I'd like to share a few thoughts with you this evening from the life of Joseph concerning God's workings. God is still working in our lives even when we can't see it. The first main point I'd like to stress tonight is that God is still working in our lives when nothing seems to be happening. That's my first main point. And that comes from verse number 23. God is still working in our lives when nothing seems to be happening. When we are seemingly forgotten. If you go back to chapter 40, note there in verses 14 and 15, Joseph made this plea to the butler. He said, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee. Show kindness, I pray thee, unto me. Make mention of me unto Pharaoh. Bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. And here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." So Joseph makes a request. "Remember me. If you are restored, delivered, remember me." And beloved, I'd like to encourage you this evening, God is still at work when nothing seems to be happening. How did Joseph feel knowing that he was not remembered to the king for what he did for the butler? How do you think he felt? Did he think to himself, "Now, did he do this on purpose? Has he really forgotten me? How can he possibly forget me? This man could have been dead meat. How could he possibly forget what I've done for him?" Proverbs 13:12 reads, "Hope deferreth maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." Beloved, let me encourage you this evening, God is still working in our lives, around us, even when nothing seems to be happening. Joseph is still in prison. The butler has been restored. He's not only been set free, he's been restored to his original position as Pharaoh's cupbearer. That's amazing that he would not only spare this man's life, but also restore him to his original position as the cupbearer to Pharaoh. God is still working when nothing seems to be happening. Because God is all powerful. God is all present. God is all knowing. And these main attributes of God imply the fact that God is always at work in hope of eternal life that God promised before the world began. I think of Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you, he will complete it under the day of Jesus Christ. We need to have hope in God, especially during those moments, those seasons of life when we feel as if nothing is happening. Here I am, I'm still in prison. Nothing's happening. Oh, beloved, God is still working. Rest assured, God is still working. Psalm 42:5 reads, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Every now and again, you and I need to preach to ourselves. Yes, we do. I'm not talking about talking to ourselves, I'm talking about preaching to ourselves. Preaching to ourselves the Word of God. And that's what David did. He said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Beloved, from time to time, you and I just need to preach to ourselves that in God there is hope. God is still working in our lives even when nothing seems to be happening. Joseph is still in prison. The butler has been restored. And secondly, this evening, I'd like to encourage you with the thought, God is still working in our lives when the timing doesn't seem to be right. When the timing doesn't seem to be right. There in chapter 40, verses 20 to 23, we are told in verse 20, "And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants." And as we've already stressed, the butler was restored to his original position as cupbearer, but yet Joseph was not remembered by the butler. The butler was restored to his position as the cupbearer. He had the ear of Pharaoh. He was right there with him. He could have very simply shared with Pharaoh, "Pharaoh, do you realize that I had a dream, and while I was in prison, a man by the name of Joseph, this Hebrew boy, predicted that I'd be restored to this position." He had a golden opportunity to share that with Pharaoh. He had Pharaoh's ear. What a lost opportunity that would seem. But my friend, I'd like to encourage you this evening. God is still working in our lives when the timing doesn't seem to be right. See, for God's timing is always perfect, is it not? In Galatians 4:4 we read, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." God's timing was perfect, and it was not the right time. As soon as the butler was restored, that was not the right time for Joseph to be delivered. God had a time, and I'm afraid that so often in our lives we have God in a little box, and we have God in a little timer. And we expect God to work in a certain time. But beloved, you and I need to be mindful that God is still at work even when the timing doesn't seem to be quite right. Now on the surface it would seem right that upon the restoration of the butler that Joseph would be delivered. But no, it happens 2 years later. Was that a mistake as far as God was concerned? Was that an oversight for God? Did God forget? Was God slack? No, the timing wasn't perfect. God's timing is always perfect. So, beloved, God is still working in our lives when nothing seems to be happening. We can't see anything. Ah, but God is still at work. When the timing doesn't seem to be right, just as Joseph, remember Joseph and Mary there in the New Testament? Mary was found with child, and Joseph decided, I need to do something about this. And upon that very moment, the angel appeared. Timing is everything. And said, Joseph, don't you worry, that which is in her is conceived of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, when the waters of Jordan opened up, when the feet of the priests actually touched the water, it wasn't before, but as soon as they put their feet in the water, the Bible teaches us, then the Jordan opened up. Beloved, God's timing is always perfect. When did God deliver Israel from the Assyrians? The Assyrians surrounded the city of Jerusalem. And Hezekiah and Isaiah gave themselves to prayer, and God came through. During the evening, he sent an angel through, and 185,000 Assyrians were killed, just like that. God's timing, beloved, is perfect. I love Isaiah 55, verse 9. Quickly, please, Isaiah 55. We've been in Isaiah once tonight. Let's go there again. This time, chapter 55. We need to be reminded of this principle here. Isaiah chapter 55. Look at verse number 9. Isaiah 55. Verse 9 reads, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Joseph pulled no strings. Joseph continued to trust God. And beloved, this is what we need to do, even when the timing doesn't seem to be right. God, where are you? This is the opportunity. Hey, butler's out. Surely he'd say something. Why didn't he say anything to Pharaoh? Timing wasn't right. But was God still at work? Oh, yes, he was. And when the timing doesn't seem to be right for you and I, is God still at work? Oh, yes, he is. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Timing, beloved. Timing is everything. Thirdly, this evening, I'd like for us to note, not only is God still at work when seemingly nothing is happening, when the timing doesn't seem to be correct, God is still working, even though we see it, because, see, God continues to work in the hearts of others. Go to Proverbs chapter 21, please. Proverbs 21, and then we'll go back to Genesis 41. Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21, verse 1, God continues to work in the hearts of others. Proverbs 21, verse 1, not Psalm 21, verse 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Look at this. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever who wills? God wills. See, God continues to work in the hearts of others. God is still at work, even though we cannot see it, because God continues to work in the hearts of others. And we go back to Genesis chapter 41, please. And we note in Genesis 41, verses 1 to 8, in verse 1 it reads, "And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river." Pharaoh has an unexplainable dream. It could have been anybody of little influence that had these dreams. But no, it was Pharaoh that had these dreams. The most powerful man within the Egyptian Empire. Oh, Pastor, that's a coincidence. No, it is not. No, it is not. Oh, Pastor, that's pretty lucky, is it not? No, we don't believe in the God of luck. Luck was a god. So please don't go wishing people good luck. That's a god. We believe in the one true God, not any other little gods. No, God is still at work in the hearts of others. God continues to work in the hearts of others. And Pharaoh has these two dreams concerning cows and concerning corn. Healthy cows, lean cows. Healthy grain or corn, undernourished corn or grain. And the undernourished cow and grain consume the good grain and consume the good cows. What does this mean? So Pharaoh calls his magicians in. Look at verse number 8. "And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians in Egypt and all the wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh." So the magicians of Egypt could not interpret Pharaoh's dreams. So who was going to interpret the dreams? Here we find the door opens up for God to manifest his presence through a choice servant by the name of Joseph. God often uses a need to manifest himself. Well, the Bible goes on to read in verse number 9. Note then verse number 9, please, of this chapter. Genesis 41:9, "Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day." So there's the butler, he's right there. And he can see the distress that Pharaoh has. And he can see the disappointment that Pharaoh experiences. He's wanting to know, what is the interpretation to my dream? The cupbearer stood at Pharaoh's side. He saw his distress. And the butler has a flashback to his prison days. How could he have ever forgotten that time in prison and how he was miraculously delivered? And he cries out before Pharaoh. He said, "I do remember my faults this day." Then he reminds Pharaoh what had happened, just in case Pharaoh had forgotten. "Once upon a time you threw me into prison. Do you remember that, Pharaoh? Me and the butler. And while we were in prison, we had some dreams. And there was this Hebrew boy in the prison. And he interpreted our dreams. And he interpreted the fact that I would be restored. And here I am. And I've completely forgotten all about him. I have forgotten to bring him before you." Coincidence? Luck? Oh no. The providence and sovereign rule of God, yes. God continues to work in the hearts of others. God is still working, beloved. When we don't see it, God is still working in the hearts of others, for even the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And as the rivers of water, he turneth it whither he wills. I love the book of Esther. What a great book. How Haman determined to destroy God's people. He was so confident that he had it all in the bag that he built a hanging post for Mordecai. Didn't like Mordecai. Well, it so happened that one evening, the Persian king couldn't sleep. That's a coincidence, isn't it? And because he couldn't sleep, he thought to himself, how am I going to sleep? So he said to his servants, bring out some records and let's just read some boring detail and data as to what has taken place in the kingdom. Because the Persians were very meticulous to record everything that took place. So while he's reading through all these details of what's happened in the kingdom, he notes that that time that I was delivered from assassination by a man by the name of Mordecai. And he said to his servants, hey, by the way, did Mordecai ever get rewarded for what he had done on the behalf of the king? And they said to the king, well, I don't think so. Okay, let's take care of that now. Meanwhile, Haman's all excited, ready to come in to let the Persian king know, hey, we've built the hanging post, we're going to get rid of this Mordecai. And all of a sudden, Mordecai is honored. Is that a coincidence? No. Who woke up the king of Persia? Talk to me. God did. Yes, he did. Oh, yes, he did. And how is it that out of all the records of information they had, he just happened to read this little detail that involved Mordecai, some little drop within the Persian records? Is that a coincidence? It's not. Beloved, God continues to work in the hearts of others. Be encouraged. Though you can't see it, when nothing seems to be happening, hey, God is still at work. God is still at work when you can't see it, even though the timing doesn't seem to be right. God is still at work, even though we cannot see it, for God continues to work in the hearts of others. And the fourth point I want to make this evening is that God uses whom he wills. God uses whom he wills. Note then verse 14, please, of chapter 41. Are you still with me? Okay, this is a wonderful study here. Look at verse 14, please, to 16. So the butler tells Pharaoh, hey, you need to talk to this Joseph bloke. He's still in prison. He's been there for the last 2 years that I've been serving you here. 2 full years have passed. So Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, verse 14, and brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment. The Egyptians were very meticulous about being clean and tidy. They were absolute fanatics. Absolute fanatics. Some of you ladies would love it, love it, love it. Yes, you would. Absolute fanatics. So if a person was to present themselves before the Pharaoh, they'd have to look absolutely clean and sharp and crisp. So they shaved Joseph, got rid of any unnecessary hair, put on clean garment, brought him before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, verse 15, I have dreamed a dream. There's none that can interpret it. And I've heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me, God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. So Joseph is called into Pharaoh's office. He's asked to interpret his dreams. And then from verses 17 to 24, Pharaoh once again repeats these dreams involving these cows and these stalks of corn. Good cows, good stalks of corn. Lean cows, poor stalks of corn. The poor stalks, the poor cows consume the good cows, the good stalks of corn. And then verses 25 to 32, note what Joseph said as he listened very carefully to Pharaoh's dreams. Joseph said unto Pharaoh, "The dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do." Look at verse 29. "Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt." And then verse 30, "And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land." See, Joseph acknowledges that God will work. God will give Pharaoh an answer. And Joseph had to trust God to give him the right interpretation. He had to have faith in God. God can use anybody, and God could use anything to glorify His holy name. And I want to encourage you this evening, when it seems like God is not working and you can't see that God is working, let me encourage you this evening, God continues to work in the hearts of others, and God uses whom He wills to manifest His glory. If God could use Samson to bring glory to His name, God can use you, God could use me. If God could use rugged old Jephthah to bring glory to His name, God can use you, God can use me. Praise be to God. God uses whom He wills, ultimately to glorify His name. So God sets up this scenario, and Joseph said to Pharaoh, "Your dreams are one. There will be 7 years of prosperity, then there will be 7 years of great famine." That is the interpretation of your dream. And note then verse number 33. "Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt." See, Joseph goes the extra mile here. He not only gives an interpretation to Pharaoh's dreams, he said, "Now, this is what you need to do about this. You need to appoint a general manager that will take care of all of this good stock. For the next 7 years, you're going to have 7 years of plenty, and you need someone to manage all that. Because the 7 years of famine are coming. And if it's not managed, it won't be enough." See, the Egyptians were not only meticulous and were a very clean and tidy people, but the other side of the coin is they were very wasteful. Very, very wasteful. So Joseph said, "Pharaoh, you better appoint somebody that's got a bit of noggin that will manage the collection, the storage of all of this great harvest for the next 7 years, because I know what you blokes are like. You're very wasteful. And prepare for the 7 years of famine." The next point I want to make is simply this: God will exalt, God will abase whom He wills. Joseph said to Pharaoh, you need to move quickly, appoint somebody to manage the harvest of the good years, and then manage the supplies within the lean years. And then note then verse number 38. Pharaoh is listening to Joseph. And Pharaoh said to his servants, look at verse 38, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Pharaoh said to his servants, is there anybody that has a spirit like this Hebrew man by the name of Joseph? There would have been qualified men that could manage food supplies in the kingdom, but Pharaoh was looking for somebody that had the spirit of Joseph. And then we read on in verse number 40, please. Look at verse number 40. Pharaoh said to Joseph, thou shalt be over my house according unto my word. Shall all my people be ruled? Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Wow! That is Psalm 75 verse 6 all over. Let's go there. Psalm 75 verse 6. Are you still with me? Okay, don't fall asleep on me. This is good Bible truth. Look at Psalm 75. This ought to encourage your heart. Psalm 75. Look at verse 6. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God in the north, of course. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and he setteth up another. Amen. It is God who exalts, it is God who abases whom he wills. The Labour Party are an absolute shock as to why they lost the election. They lost the most, they lost the election that could not be lost. Hey, I believe God intervened. Amen. How do you explain it? It doesn't make sense. I'm telling you, that is God. And that's God's specialty. Here's a boy that was sold into slavery at the age of 17. Now he's 30 years of age, and now he is appointed second to Pharaoh over the whole Egyptian empire. Wow! God will abase the godless. God will exalt the godly. God will always accomplish his purposeful will. And I'd like to just close with that very fact. Go back to chapter 41, please. I believe without doubt that Joseph had pure motives when he said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh, you better, just a little bit of advice at no extra charge, you better appoint somebody to manage the good years in preparation for the bad years. I have no doubt in my mind that Joseph was saying to himself, pick me, pick me, pick me. I don't believe so. I believe his motives were pure. I do. Yeah. And God did above and beyond that he could ask or think. Look, I think, I know it doesn't really matter what I think, what the Bible teaches, that's what really matters. But I think, I'll let you know anyway, I think that Joseph really wasn't after being second in charge of the Egyptian Empire. Would you agree with that? He just wanted to get out of prison. Would you agree with that? There you go. My thinking ain't that bad after all. But God did above and beyond that which we could ask or think. God is able to exalt. God is able to abase. We serve a wonderful God. And beloved, when it just seems like nothing is happening, God is still working. He's working in the background. He's working in the hearts of people. He's abasing those whom He wills. He's exalting those whom He wills. To what end? For God will always accomplish His purposeful will. Look at verse number 46, please, and 47. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the 7 plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years, which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities. The food of the field, which were round about every city, laid he up in the same. Verse 49, and Joseph gathered corn or wheat. In the Bible, corn is wheat. As the sand of the sea, very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. And all of God's people said, Amen. See, God will always accomplish His purposeful will. Some people are random. God is not random. Amen. You know of random people in your life. They can be quite comical at times. But aren't you glad that they are not God? For God is not random. He is purposeful. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, the Bible reads, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. God is purposeful. Joseph graduates. He has passed each of the major exams with a spirit of meekness and trust. He is the only graduating student of this year at the Egypt Baptist Bible College. He's been studying for 13 years. He graduates. He's promoted to second in charge. But he's worked for 13 hard years. For 13 years he's trusted God. For 13 years he's given the evidence of God. For 13 years he's maintained a right spirit. And God exalts him with purpose. From prison to palace. And we will see that God will use Joseph to be the means of not only preserving a nation, the nation of Israel, but also building a nation from whom the Savior will come into the world. Glory be to God. God is purposeful. God is still at work. Listen to me. God is still at work, even though we can't see. So be encouraged this evening. When it seems like nothing's happening, when it seems like timing's not right, God is still at work. He was at work in the heart and life of Joseph, and God is still at work in your life for His glory. Let's remember the Lord. Let's honour Him. Let's trust Him. Let's continue to hope in God. All things do work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And all of God's people said, let's bow for prayer.